Blog Talk Radio.
Trouble is in the land, confusion all around. That's a strange statement. But I know somehow that only when it is dark do you see the star. And I see God working in this period of the 20th century. Away.
There comes a time when we
hate
a certain
way,
when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, what a time to lend a hand to
whether
they're
in
Johannesburg,
South Africa. This is the and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. Now, that's a strange statement to make because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion all around. That's a strange statement. But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the star. And I see God working in this period of the 20th century in a way that men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening in our world. The masses of people are rising up. And wherever they are assembled today, whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same.
We want to be free.
We want to be free. Another reason that I'm happy to live in this period is that we have been forced to a point where we are going to have to grapple with the problems that men have been trying to grapple with through history, but the demands didn't force them to do it. Survival demands that we grapple with it. Men for years now have been talking about war and peace, but now no longer can they just talk about it. It is no longer the choice between violence and nonviolence in this world. It's nonviolence or non-existence. That is where we are today. Also in the human rights revolution, if something isn't done and done in a hurry to bring the colored peoples of the world out of their long years of poverty, their long years of hurt and neglect, the whole world is doomed. I'm just happy that God has allowed me to live in this period to see what is unfolding. And I'm happy that he's allowed me to be in Memphis. I can remember when Negroes were just going around, as Ralph has said so often, scratching where they didn't itch and laughing when they were not tickled. But that day is all over. We mean business now, and we are determined to gain our rightful place in God's world. And that's all this whole thing is about. We aren't engaged in any negative protest and in any negative arguments with anybody. We are saying that we are determined to be men. We are determined to be people. We are saying that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, we don't have to live like we are forced to live. Now, what does all of this mean in this great period of history?
It means that we've got to stay together. We've got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. What was that? He kept the slaves fighting among themselves. But whenever the slaves get together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot hold the slaves in slavery. When the slaves get together, that's the beginning of getting out of slavery. Now let us maintain unity. Secondly, let us keep the issues where they are. The issue is injustice. The issue is the refusal of Memphis to be fair and honest in its dealings with its public servant who happened to be sanitation worker. Now we've got to keep attention on that. That's always the problem with a little violence. You know what happened the other day, and the press dealt only with the window breakers. I read the article. They very seldom got around to mentioning the fact that 1,300 sanitation workers are on strike, and that Memphis is not being fair to them, and that Mayor Loeb is in dire need of a doctor. They didn't get around to that. We're going to march again, and we've got to march again in order to put the issue where it is supposed to be.
This is Dr. King. And Dr. King was talking about the march throughout this country. And I want to tell you, we're talking about healing and deliverance tonight. This is Block Talk Radio. We're on 5 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday, Dr. King, Movement, Tuesday, Cause the Ancestor. Call, get involved, and be a part of this. You can go to my website, DustyTheAbrahamYourWebsite.com, or you can call me at 708-582-0372 radio. I want to be a message to you. Thank you, Sister Mary. Thank you, Sister Cook. I want to say this to you, divine healing tonight. I want to deal with divine healing because we got to talk about healing. We got to talk about men and women being healed. And I think the most important thing, we've got to be in the hands of God. Every Sunday morning from 11 to 12, we're on. And Mary, I want you to read 23rd number of Psalms tomorrow. I guess I'll let you read it today, because it's very important that we stay on that. I was over at Marquette Park for Dr. King March in 6 days, and they were saying they are really, they want Dr. King March. They were saying, Black, go home. Tell you tonight, I'm praying for your healing, your deliverance. Breaking curses and hexes. We want to break down the hex and the curses. And I want to let you know that God got a way of bringing us up out of what we're in. And I want to tell you tonight, it's all in God's hands. This is divine healing night. Geneva, I'm glad that you made it to Chicago, you and your group. And give me a call when you get a chance. Lorraine, I'm praying for you tonight. There's no flower on earth that heaven cannot heal. I want you to know that God is able to pour out a blessing for many of you. I want you to get ready as I talk. God bless you. as we get ready. I want to thank Real Mal Sampson. Real Mal Sampson was there trying to get the farmer together. It's time for black men and black women to come together, to pull together. We marched. And I told a story what happened to the disciples and the Blackstone Rangers and the Latin Kings and what happened to all the groups that was in Chicago that was Dr. King's bodyguard. And we had people from all over. We had the Egyptian Cobra. We had the Cobra Stone, Mickey Caldwell. And we had all the way from the west side. We had the people from the west side. Dr. King was standing on the west side of Independence. But we had from Inglewood, the black, the disciples, and from Woodlawn, we had the Blackstone Rangers. They were Dr. King's vanguard. And we had the Cobras, the Egyptian Cobras, some part of Z-Town. And then on down, down on the, deeper in the, on the west side, we had other groups that was there that were working with us to protect Dr. King. Those young men marched, they got up every morning at 5 o'clock. 500 from the Stone, 500 from the Dean, 500 from the other group, okay? And we're talking about those groups that stood and were the vanguard of Dr. Martin Luther King. When the Chicago police said they cannot protect Dr. King, but these young men did protect Dr. King and kept Dr. King going. I want to tell you tonight, I'm praying for your healing, Francis. Lisa, I'm praying for you. Joe, I'm praying for you tonight. I want you to get ready for a breakthrough. I want you to send for my book, Joe. I want you to send my book, The Miracles of Jesus. I want you to send for the book. As a matter of fact, this book called The Miracles of Jesus. And I want you to send for this book and begin to read it. Put it in your book library. The Miracles of Jesus. Once you read this book, you'll be a changed man or a changed woman. Let me say it again. The Miracles of Jesus. I need you to pray. Bishop, I'm planting the seed. And 708-582-0272. I'm talking about being delivered. Being delivered, I'm talking about a financial covenant. Where those of you, Acts 3 and 19, Master Musa will bring you a blessing. And I'm going to tell you tonight, God got it all in his hands. And I want to tell you tonight, we're praying for you and you. Don't forget Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. God bless you. I'm praying right now. See you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, a prophet Walker. I'm praying for you, Rosie Ellis. I'm praying for all the prophets. I want to let you know God is able. Bright Star, Dr. Bright Star, God bless you. Dr. Renee, God bless you. Regina, I'm praying for you. Kit, I'm praying for you. Get ready for this month to be a month of healing and deliverance for you and your family. Father God, we come right now to this hour on the Sabbath. We ask you to heal and deliver. Break down the stronghold. There's no problem left for heaven to not heal. God, touch them right now. Open up every door. God, I know that you're able to do anything but fail. God, open up the door in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Get ready for a divine blessing tonight, that every door closed will be opened up for you and God's going to do it for you. Mary, I want you to get the 23rd number Psalm. When you get it, press 1 on your phone. And I've been praying for you, Linda. He asked me to pray for you. I'm praying for those that are in jail, those that are looking for a way out. God is the way out. Okay. I'm going to have Mary to read the 23rd number Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I've been prophesying all day. I've been out in the park. We marched to Martin Luther King Monument, and we prayed there. And Reverend Sampson prayed, talked about all the black that did so much, made the washing machine, learned plasma. There's so much black people have did and been snuffed out. But Mary's going to read the 23rd number Psalm for us. God bless you on this Saturday morning. God bless you, Mary. Are you ready for the 23rd number Psalm? You on now.
The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the earth. Amen.
God will open up that door for you. Thank you, Mary. Mary, God bless you. I got a special scripture for you tonight because I've been looking over some things. Do you have the book, The Miracles of Jesus? Do you have my book, The Miracles of Jesus? You have a book? Okay, I'm gonna bring it when I come. I want you to read tonight, Exodus 14:14, and I want you to read Exodus 23:20, and call on your angel. You know the name of your angel, right? And you are going to release angel. Because last night, the young ladies were lost down in Missouri. They were lost. And Geneva and her friend were coming from Mississippi, and they got lost. She called me and said, "Bishop, I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at." I sent the angel Michael, and she got home safe, she told me. But I want you to know God is able to do anything but fail. And let go of God. I want divine healing tonight for those that came, those that were with us. And I want to say Reverend Dunlap, Reverend Sodden, Bishop William, and we also talking about those that marched with us, Reverend A.I. Dunlap, Reverend Thurston, John Thurston, Reverend Edmund Blair. There's so many pastors. Reverend Clay Evans. Rita Franklin, Daddy. Pierre Franklin was there in Detroit trying to make a difference with us. Stop the killing, save the babies. And I'm going to hold on to that. And I want everybody listening tonight, don't forget, from 11 to 12 tomorrow. And I got a scripture, St. Matthew 8, 23rd verse through the 27th verse for tonight. And I want to leave this with you. The Lord is my shepherd. And I got Dr. Franklin, who was with Dr. King real close. And Aretha Franklin, she the one was with Dr. King, and she did concert for SCLC to make where we will have money to march and go. So We come a long way, but we have a long way to go. And Reverend Sam was telling how Dr. King ordained him. Dr. King ordained Reverend Al Sam and charged him with carrying the movement to an economic level. And that means business. That means that money, bank. So tonight, I'm talking about the healing of your finance, the healing of the home that you've been, you want. And I just feel God going to open up that door where you can get the home that you need. Dr. King was a prophet. And Dr. King said in Memphis, I should play it, where he said that God has allowed him to live in this century. They were trying to kill Dr. King because Dr. King was organizing the poor white, the poor black, the poor brown. He was bringing them together, was saying, we got to feed everybody. It ain't just white. It's everybody is hungry. So right now, they're fighting over in Israel. I said they're going to be fighting in the Middle East. And we're going to see wars and rumors of wars, tornadoes and floods. The lady said, lightning hit. That let you know God is reaching out, let you know he's God all by him.
And I have feasted to my satisfaction.
Yeah.
He let me then lay down in a plenty.
Yeah.
I shall not walk.
Yeah.
It's about a personal thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He maketh me to lie down in green pasture.
Yeah.
He leadeth me beside the still water.
Yeah.
He restoreth my soul.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul.
Yeah.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
My Lord.
Isn't it so?
Yeah.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and his goodness. The folks say, well, you know, I'm not that much of a talker.
Yeah.
And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway.
Yeah.
You ought to be able to say what God means to me.
Well, amen.
If the Lord means anything, let the saints of God say so.
Amen.
Pray with me.
Well.
If David was author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences.
Yes, sir.
Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne.
Yeah.
Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand.
Well.
With courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him.
Yeah.
And yeah, he takes the retrospect back down the vista of the past.
Well.
And began to think about those things that brought him over.
Yeah.
Had it been his skillfulness?
Well.
Had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been armies?
No,
sir. It had been the Lord. Thus he says, the Lord has been my shepherd. No wonder the man said, through many dangerous trials and snares, I have already come. It wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political strings being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on.
Yes.
Well, here's a man.
Happiness to that country is to be thrown away.
and the Supreme Court by one. And the Revolutionary War, powerful Spanish elements in the South fought with the British. The development of the nation to the West was complicated and
heavy. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, J.R.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of that captivity. But 100 years later, Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material problems. This nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My poor little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every human lodging shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the start with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair
child of God children, be able to sing with new meaning, my country tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty of thee I sing. Land of where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring and from Americans to be a great nation. This must come true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the hiking alligators of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California, not only that, let freedom ring. From the stone mountain of Georgia, let freedom ring. From Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and mole hill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. It happens when we allow freedom ring. When we let it ring from every village and every house, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of us, and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old
Chris. Okay, Chris. I'm looking for
a new position.
How do you think having osteoarthritis affects your ability to be a caregiver?
It's something that I...
Thank you very kindly, my friend. As I listen to Ralph Abernathy and his eloquent and generous introduction, and then thought about myself, I wondered who he was talking about. It's always good to have your closest friend and associate say something good about you. And Ralph Abernathy is the best friend that I have in the world. I'm delighted to see each of you here tonight, in spite of a storm warning. Reveal that you are determined to go on anyhow. Something is happening in Memphis. Something is happening in our world. And you know, if I was standing at the beginning of time with the possibility of taking a kind of general and panoramic view of whole human history up to now, might have said to me, Martin Luther King, which age would you like to live in? I take my middle flight by Egypt. And I was God's children in their magnificent trek from the dark dungeons of Egypt through a road across the Red Sea, through the wilderness, on toward the land. And in spite of its magnificence, I wouldn't stop there. I would move on by Greece and take my mind to Mount Olympus. And I would see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Euripides, and Aristophanes assemble around Parthenon. I would watch them around the Parthenon as they discuss the great and eternal truths of reality, but I wouldn't stop there. have gone even to the great heyday of the Roman Empire. And I would see developments around there through various emperors and leaders, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the day of the Renaissance. And a quick picture of all that the Renaissance did for the cultural and aesthetic life of man, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even go back the way that the man for whom I'm named had his habitat. And I would watch Martin Luther as he tacked his 95 theses on the door at the Church of Wittenberg, but I wouldn't stop there. I would come on up even to 1863 and watch a vacillating president by the name of Abraham Lincoln finally come to the conclusion that he had to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the early 30s and see a man grappling with the problem of the bankruptcy of his nation. Come with an eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself, but I wouldn't stop that. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. That's a strange statement to make because the world is all messed up. The nation is trouble is in the land, confusion all around. That's a strange statement. But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. And I see God working in this period of the 20th century in a way that men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening in our world. The masses of people rising up. And wherever they are assembled today, whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same. We want to be free. Another reason that I'm happy to live in this period is that we have been forced to a point where we are going to have to grapple with the problems that men have been trying to grapple with through history, but the demands didn't force them to do it. Survival demands that we grapple with them. Men for years now have been talking about war and peace. But now no longer can they just talk about it. It is no longer the choice between violence and nonviolence in this world. It's nonviolence or non-existent. That is where we are today. Also in the human rights revolution, if something isn't done and done in a hurry to bring the colored peoples of the world out of their long years of poverty, their long years of hurt and neglect, the whole world is doomed. Now, I'm just happy that God has allowed me to live in this period, to see what is unfolding. And I'm happy that he's allowed me to be in ministry. I can remember when Negroes with as Ralph has said so often, scratching where they didn't itch and laughing when they were not tickled. That day is all over. We mean business now, and we are determined to gain our rightful place in God's world. And that's all this whole thing is about. We aren't engaged in any negative protest and in any negative arguments with anybody. We are saying that we are determined to be men. We are determined to be people. We are saying, that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, we don't have to live like we are forced to live. Now, what does all of this mean in the period of history? It means that we've got to stay together. We've got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. What was that? He kept the slaves fighting among themselves. But whenever the slaves get together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot hold the slaves in slavery. When the slaves get together, that's the beginning of getting out of slavery. Now let us maintain unity. Secondly, this is where they are. The issue is injustice. The issue is the refusal of Memphis to be fair and honest in its dealings with its public servants who happen to be sanitation workers. Now, we've got to keep attention on that. That's always the problem with a little violence. You know what happened the other day, and the press dealt only with the window breakers. I read the article. They very seldom got around to mentioning the fact that 1,300 sanitation workers are on strike, and that Memphis is not being fair to them, and that Mayor Loeb is in dire need of a doctor. They didn't get around to that. Now we're going to march again, and we've got to march again, in order to put the issue where it is supposed to be. Force everybody to see that there are 1,300 of God's children here suffering. Sometimes going hungry, going through dark and dreary nights, wondering how this thing is going to come out. That's the issue. We've got to say to the nation, we know how it's coming out. when people get caught up with that which is right and they are willing to sacrifice for it, there is no stopping for it short of victory. We aren't going to let any mace stop us. We are masters in our nonviolent movement in disarming police forces. They don't know what to do. I've seen them so often. I remember in Birmingham, Alabama, we were in that majestic struggle there. We would move out of the 16th Street Baptist Church day after day. By the hundreds, we would move out. Bill Connor would tell them to send the dogs for. And they did come. But we just went before the dogs singing, ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Bill Connor next would say, turn the fire hoses on. As I said to you the other night, Bill Connor didn't know history. He knew a kind of physics that somehow didn't relate to the transphysics that we knew about. And that was the fact that there was a certain kind of fire that no water could put out. We went before the fire hose. We had known water. If we were Baptist or some other denomination, we had been immersed. If we were Methodist and some other, we had been sprinkled, but we knew water. That couldn't stop us. We just went on before the dogs, and we would look at them, and we'd